Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
All of us have taken hope in the image of clean water instead of oil spewing in the Gulf.
President Barack Obama brought the audacity of hope back to the Gulf last Friday when a new cap on the leaking BP underwater oil well seemed to hold for the very first time.
But it is our responsibility to make sure that we're taking a prudent course of action and not simply looking for a short-term solution that could lead to even greater problems down the road.
But it turns out down the road came sooner than anyone would like, because just yesterday, Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, the government's top official in its Gulf response, said that the pressure caused by the cap on the well could be producing seepage of oil from the seafloor itself. Allen said he'll allow BP another day for more pressure tests around the well. But even if BP can fully shut off the oil leak, what does the pollution that's already been released into the Gulf mean for the future of the Gulf's ecosystem? Other historic oil spills are being studied for this exact reason. The Exxon Valdez in Alaska, of course, the Ixtoc in Mexico, and one even closer to home, right here in Buzzards Bay. Because in 1969, the oil barge Florida hit the rocks off the coast of West Falmouth, spilling some 200,000 gallons of light diesel into Buzzards Bay. Some researchers say that today, if you dig a mere 6 inches down into the marshland, you can still sniff oil. That's right, sniff oil 40 years later. Joining us to talk about the West Falmouth oil spill and its lingering effects is John Farrington. He is interim dean and professor at the School of Marine Science and Technology at UMass Dartmouth. He's also emeritus scientist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, where he was dean as well for 15 years. Welcome to Radio Boston, Professor Farrington.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, I wonder if you could just take us back in time a little bit and describe to us what that area of Buzzards Bay looked like in 1969 when the Florida opened up and released all that diesel there.
Well, there was a very large smell of diesel in the air, very much like if you have a problem with your home furnace, you could smell diesel fuel on occasion. And this, I have to say, was from the recollections of colleagues, because I didn't get on the scene until 1971 in the summer, but the research was ongoing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the impact in 1969 was pretty immediate. Thousands of lobsters, clams, fish died. But people thought that the damage might only be temporary. And when you first got out there, as you said, in 1971, you still saw evidence of the impact of the spill. What did you see when you were there 2 years later?
Well, I think the evidence that was most obvious to the eye was there was still a struggle of the marsh grass to come back in some areas of an inlet known as Wild Harbor River Marsh. More importantly, though, we were able to document, and this had been started by several senior scientists at the institution, in bringing the latest of analytical chemistry and biological studies to that area, that even though it didn't look like there was any oil around, in fact, there was plenty of oil still sequestered in the subtidal mud and also in the marsh mud. It's an example of what we have come to call the out of sight, out of mind does not always tell you the truth about environmental problems.
Hmm. And out of sight, out of mind, and even out of time, perhaps. But I understand that even you visited 20 years later, some 1990-91-ish, and there were still significant effects 20 years later. What did you see when you went back there?
Well, we went back and did some coring, that is taking a plastic tube, if you will, stick it in the marsh and bring it out, and then you could see oil glimmering in the bottom of the hole as the water filled back in the marsh in that hole. And then secondly, you could smell the diesel fuel, the home heating oil fuel. And then thirdly, we took the samples to the lab and proved unequivocally that at depth in the marsh there was oil present. And that was at 20 years, and at 40-year mark, my colleague who came on board the institution, Chris Reddy, Dr. Christopher Reddy, went back to the area and very much found the same thing. And he and his students and students of Professor Ivan Valiella at the Boston University Marine Program have done an absolutely fantastic follow-on study at the 40-year mark, not only of that spill, but another one we studied just up the coast that happened in 1974, mm-hmm. which proved unequivocally that what happened at West Falmouth was not just a fluke.
So does it seem that it takes at least 40 years, two generations, for an ecosystem to self-cleanse and to rebound to where it was before a spill? Or are you finding essentially that it takes even longer, that we don't know how long it takes to fix an area after it's been contaminated like this?
Well, I think the most important lesson is that the spill in West Falmouth was about 189,000 gallons, which pales in comparison to the Gulf spill, very clearly. And only a small area of the marsh that was initially oiled has remained contaminated over that period of time. So you do get natural recovery processes happening in the lightly oiled area. But if you can imagine, okay, we're dealing with 189,000 gallons here, and we're probably dealing with 100 or 200 times as much in the Gulf, more so. And then you have to expand and extrapolate the area in West Falmouth that continues to be contaminated to a much larger area in the Gulf. And the issue at stake is that you look at the ecosystem to the untrained human eye, or even to the trained human eye, you can't see that they're markedly different. But the ecosystem is affected. As I said, the studies by Professor Valiella and Dr. Reddy and the students, Jen Culberson and so forth, they've done a wonderful job of documenting ecological effects.
Dean Farrington, let me ask you just one last question here. I mean,
sure.
Obviously, as you said, the size difference between the West Falmouth spill and what we're seeing in the Gulf is enormous. But the marshland, there's quite a bit of marshland everywhere in the Gulf. So is that what your primary concern is, that we could be looking at generations before the Gulf comes back to anything what it was before April of this year?
I think that that's exactly the concern that many people have, and it can be different in different places. That's point one. Point two, the oil spilled in the Gulf is a little bit different than the oil spilled in West Falmouth, and we've learned over the years that different types of oil have different long-lasting effects. And thirdly, we have to keep in mind that this isn't the only oil spill that's happened in the Gulf. There are small spills that happen all the time in the Gulf area.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Dr. John Farrington. He's interim dean for the School of Marine Science and Technology at UMass Dartmouth, also emeritus scientist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Dean Farrington, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.